31 trucks, 9 tons of medicine and clothing for 78,000 people, tons more food. An aid convoy bound for Aleppo, Syria, was reportedly hit from the air this week. 20 civilians were killed in the attack. Most of the aid was destroyed. The United Nations has suspended aid shipments, it has said. A ceasefire negotiated last week is barely a memory, and the U.S. is now accusing Russia and Syria of attacking that U.N. Red Crescent convoy. Both Russia and Syria deny it.
The humanitarians delivering life-saving aid were heroes. Those who bombed them were cowards.
That's United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon speaking about the events in Syria this week. What's it like to be a part of the humanitarian mission in Syria and to be deliberately targeted by military forces? Shadi Martini is a former hospital administrator from Aleppo who now works with Syrian refugees right here in the United States. He says he knows what it's like to be used as a weapon in an endless war.
It was very dangerous, very risky, and it was one of the riskiest professions out there. You know, to work in a hospital, that was very risky.
And now we learn to deliver international aid is also very risky. The 31 trucks destroyed from the air on their way into Aleppo to try to get food in there. Why are humanitarian aid workers the target right now?
Well, because they are easy to target. But this didn't stop planes from coming and bombing it. And according to U.S. officials, it was 2 Russian planes that did it.
We've evolved from a point where an event like this would be reacted to with apologies and, oh, that was a mistake, and, oh, it wasn't us, and we're seeing some of that this week. But there's also a sense that these kinds of attacks produce a particular demoralization among the population inside Aleppo, that you can fight and drop bombs, and that's one thing. But if you target the people trying to save you with international food and medical aid, you're really striking at the heart of any sense of hope.
Yes, exactly. This is the aim. You know,
it's a new weapon.
Well, yeah, it's a strategy. You see it on hospitals. You know, if you look at a website for instance for an organization that is monitoring this, Physicians for Human Rights, you can see that targeting of medical facilities is intentional and have increased in the last 2 to 3 years. I remember 2 months ago we had a targeting of all hospitals in Aleppo, and that made a lot of doctors flee, and you had very few doctors staying inside the city. That's a way of trying to win the war, by destroying all the civilian structure of your opponent, and this way you will make it very hard for civilians and any population to continue to live in this area, and you try to win the war by this.
I've heard that some doctors would leave the hospital and find places that they could make secret operating rooms using flashlights and equipment that they would smuggle into these basement operating rooms to try to save people and get away from the fighting. Have you heard such stories?
Well, we've done such things, but that was very early on in 2012 and 2013, when a lot of these operations were did in government-controlled areas. The government didn't allow people who got shot in demonstrations or beaten to get treatment, so a lot of doctors were forced to do this. Later on, when it's more a military conflict, it's more going underground, so you have a lot of doctors going underground, either in cellars, basements, and sometimes digging holes in caves, going into caves and trying to do their work, because it's safer from bombing. And, of course, very few doctors are left to do this dangerous work because of the continuous bombing, aerial bombardment, especially by the Russian forces and the Syrian government forces, who have conducted like 95% of these attacks. It's very hard to operate.
What are you doing today in Michigan? How are you doing with refugees? And what do you make of the discussion of immigrants and refugees in the United States?
It's a very tough discussion. You know, people have a lot of anxieties, especially when you have a political season. You have economic anxiety. You have security anxieties with the terrorist attacks conducted by, you know, supporters of ISIS. So we try to explain to people what refugees are really are. They are people who are fled their homes because of war. Most of the time, they are normal people. They are highly educated. They are being vetted very thoroughly, and Syrian refugees especially are being vetted, you know, on a higher level than any other refugees. And the data actually doesn't support that Syrian refugees are a danger to security, which is the biggest fear at the moment.
Do you know what Skittles are?
I know what Skittles are. Yes, so my son loves Skittles.
Right. So you heard this story about, you know, dealing with the refugee situation in the United States is like imagining a bowl of Skittles where a couple of them are, you know, poisonous. And this is a message from a member of the Trump family. How does that make you feel?
Yes, I've heard about it. I've heard about Peanuts, I think several months ago, a year ago, also comparing refugees to poisonous peanuts. It's sad. It's sad that we are comparing human beings that are fleeing tragedy. War is, you know, once I was in Europe and we were helping refugees, and at the same time, close by town was flooded. So a lot of refugees volunteered and we went and helped the flooded victims. And they told us, how come you're coming refugees from Syria and you're helping us? We said, well, we feel your pain. You know, you lost your home, you lost all your belongings. So it's like something that happened to us. So I just tell him, you know, it could happen to you. It could happen to anyone. Please be so more compassionate. Have a heart. Just have a heart.
Shadi Martini is a former hospital administrator from Aleppo, Syria, now a refugee and senior Syria advisor for Multiface Alliance for Syrian Refugees in Michigan. He spoke to us from Southfield, a suburb of Detroit. Thank you so much, Shadi.
Thank you, John.
Support for The Takeaway comes from LegalZoom, providing resources to protect intellectual property, including trademark registration, copyrights, patents, and independent attorney consultations for advice. Legal help is at LegalZoom.com. Curious.com, working to help people reclaim between 5 and 30 minutes a day to learn something new and build their CQ or Curious Quotient through the game of lifelong learning. More at Curious.com/PRI.